The text of Scripture that the Lord has laid upon my heart for this gospel meeting tonight is verse number 12 of John's Gospel, chapter number 8. Let me read that verse with you again. It says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them." Notice that Christ spoke again. It's a blessing when Christ speaks once. But what a blessing it is when the Lord comes and speaks again and again to our souls. And this is what was happening here. It says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Now, John chapter 8 tells us of the Lord Jesus Christ returning from the Mount of Olives. He returns to the temple at Jerusalem. And in the temple, he teaches, he preaches the Word of God. And my, there was no teacher, no preacher like Christ. Indeed, the Bible says, never man spake like this man. His words were with great grace and great blessing and great wisdom. But the chapter shows us how his ministry here is interrupted by certain scribes and Pharisees who bring before Christ a woman who is taken in the act of adultery. Look at verse 3 and verse 4 of the chapter. It says, "And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. When they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in the adultery in the very act." In this matter, this situation, the scribes and Pharisees then tell the Lord that in accordance with the Old Testament Levitical law, that this woman should be put to death for her sin. Look at verse number 5 of the chapter. It says, "Now Moses and the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou?" In actual fact, the law in the Old Testament stated that both the man and the woman taken in adultery were to be put to death. It says in Leviticus 20, verse number 10, "And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death." And my, surely that would show us that the sin of adultery is no light thing with God. In fact, the seventh commandment says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." Now, in dealing with this particular matter and situation, you'll see here from the chapter that the Lord Jesus Christ, he shows great wisdom and he exercises a great grace in this whole situation. First of all, you'll see here how he addresses the woman's accusers in verse number 7. Notice what he says to them at the end of that verse. He says, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." And these words were really like arrows to the hearts of these men who had accused this woman before the Lord. Such words convicted these men of their own sin. And under that conviction, they leave the woman alone in the very presence of Christ himself. Look at verse 9 of the chapter. It says, "And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst." My, he shows great wisdom. Indeed, showed great wisdom. And he said to those men, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." He shows wisdom in this matter. But not only does he show great wisdom, he also acts in grace. For in grace, the Lord deals with this particular woman. In the presence of the sinless Christ of God, in the presence of the sinless Son of God, this woman, she realizes her sin before the Lord. She realizes her unworthiness before the Lord. She repents of her sin. She forsakes her sin. And she trusts the Lord Jesus Christ as her own and personal Savior. And her life is changed by the grace and power of God. And my, her sins are forgiven. She is a woman who is signally saved by the grace of God. How do we know that? Well, proof is given by the words of Christ in the very final part of verse number 11 of the chapter. But he says there to this particular woman, he says, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And those words of Christ were but proof, but evidence and testimony to the saving grace, indeed, the mighty transforming grace in this woman's life who was saved by the grace of God on this particular occasion. And after this woman's conversion, we see how Christ resumes his preaching ministry again. And in doing so, he utters the very words of our text. Verse number 12 of the chapter, it says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. What a message here there is in these very words of Christ. You see there that with these particular words, he tells the congregation that day that he is the one who can dispel the awful darkness of sin in this world. He is the one who can defeat the awful darkness of sin on the heart of man. And by that very signal truth pertaining to the Son of God is revealed and illustrated in the saving of this particular woman before us in the beginning of John chapter 8 when he saves her from her sin and from the awful darkness of her sin. And friends, tonight in this gospel meeting, it is this great truth of Christ being the light of the world that I want us to look at and to consider before us this evening. The first thing I want us to note here is that Christ is the true light of the world. You look again at what he says there in verse number 12. He says, I am the light of the world. And the emphasis there is upon those two words pertaining to Christ. I am the light of the world. And these words really tell us, and by these words Christ was telling us here, is that he, the eternal Son of God, the great I Am, is the light of the world. If you turn over a page in your Bible to John chapter 9 and the verse number 5, you'll see similar words there in verse 5. Christ again is speaking. And he says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And again, if you turn over to John chapter 12 and the verse number 46, again you'll see similar words again. John chapter 12 and verse number 46, he says, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness. Men and women, young people, boys and girls in our meeting tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the great I Am, he is the true light of this world. Now, the Apostle John said similar words regarding Christ right in the very opening statements of the Gospel of John. In John chapter 1 and the verses 4 and 5, he speaks of Christ. And listen to what he says. He says of Christ, and him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness. And what is John telling us? What is he setting before us in this great gospel? That Christ is the true light of the world. Christ says here to his congregation that day, he says, I am the light of the world. And those words, they show us how the Lord Jesus Christ is the only true light of this dark, sinful world. That's something we must understand and recognize. The light of this world is not in the philosophies of men. It is not in the sciences of men. It is not in the traditions of men. It is not in the creeds or the ideals of men. It is not in the religions of men. No, our text makes it very clear that Christ alone is the only true light of this sinful world. He says, I am the light of the world. You think tonight of the testimony of John Newton, that great preacher and hymn writer of a bygone day. And he testifies of the light of Christ in his own sinful, dark life, and that great hymn that he penned, Amazing Grace. He said in that great hymn, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. was blind, but now I see, and my, when a blind man sees, what happens? The darkness is dispelled, the darkness is defeated. By those words there, John Newton was telling us how Christ had delivered him as an individual from the awful darkness of his sin. Christ is the true light of the world. Dear friends, the Lord Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And as the light of the world, He is the only one. He is the only one who can dispel the darkness, the dominion, the pollution, the penalty, the depravity of sin in each of our lives here on earth. He is the only one that can do that. And this He accomplished by His atoning death and sacrifice for sinners upon the cross of Calvary. Turn with me your Bible over to Hebrews chapter number 9. The 9th chapter of the book of Hebrews and the final part of verse number 26. And you'll see this great statement here for you in the Word of God. How Christ is the only one who can dispel the darkness and the dominion and the depravity and the pollution of penalty of sin in our lives. Look at Hebrews 9 verse 26. He accomplished this by His work upon the cross. It says there, "But now once in the end of the world hath He," that is Christ, "appeared." Notice it. "To put away sin," it says, "by the sacrifice of Himself," by the blood of the cross. Oh, by a sacrifice as the sinless Son of God. What did Christ do? The Bible shows us and tells us that He satisfied the demands of God's law and justice. And by His sacrifice alone, He purchased a glorious victory over sin for all who will trust Him as their Savior. We were singing of that victory in our opening hymn tonight of praise. And by the proof that God accepted a sacrifice on the behalf of sinners, it is seen in Christ's triumphant and Christ's glorious resurrection from the dead. The Bible says He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Dear friend, in our meeting tonight, let me say this. The moment that you and I, as repentant sinners, trust Christ as Savior, our sins are forgiven by God, and we enter into this glorious victory purchased for us by the blood of Christ, this glorious victory over sin. The Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. The Apostle John speaks of this great victory to the work of Christ in 1 John chapter 3 and the verse number 5. And this is what he says of Christ. "And ye know that He was manifested," it says, "to take away our sins." And then in verse 8 of the same chapter he says, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil." And there John is telling us of the great victory there is over sin and over the works of the devil, over the works of the evil one, through Christ. He was manifested. He was uplifted upon the cross to take away our sin and to destroy the works of the devil. Dear friend, in our meeting tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ is the true light of the world. Understand that. See that tonight. May that truth be underlined in your heart and in your soul. He is the true light of this world. And because of His sacrifice upon the cross, because of the shedding of the blood upon the cross, He is the only one, He and no one else, He is the only one that can dispel and deliver you and I from the awful darkness and depravity of sin in our lives. He says here to His hearers that day, He says, "I am the light of the world." In other words, I am the true light of the world. I am the only light of the world. Does not the Bible say of Christ, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved"? Yes, Christ is the true light of the world. Notice something else here from this great verse before us. Not only is He the true light of the world, but secondly, I want us also to note that He is the universal light of the world. Look again carefully at what he says there in John chapter 8, verse number 12. He says, I am the light of the world. Underline that word world there in the text. Notice the emphasis there that Christ puts upon the world. He says, I am the light of the world. Here the Lord Jesus was making it plain to his congregation that day that he was the true spiritual light, not just for the Jewish people, no, but also for the Gentile peoples of all the world. Yes, he was a true spiritual light for the Jews, but he was also a true spiritual light for all the Gentile peoples and nations over the face of the globe. My, he was telling them that he was the Savior for the whole world. You think of our sun that's up in the sky. The sun in the sky gives physical light to all the world, to Africa, to Asia, to America, Australia, Europe, Britain, wherever. It shines upon the entire part of the world. And how is the Lord Jesus Christ described in the Old Testament book? He's described as the Son of Righteousness. And as the Son of Righteousness, he is the one that can bring spiritual light to all the world, to all the nations of mankind. You remember what he said in his conversation with Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse 17. For God sent not a son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The emphasis there being on Christ being a Savior to the whole world. Think again of what Paul said to Timothy of Christ. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And again there in his letter to young Timothy, Paul reminded Timothy that Christ was a Savior for the whole world. My, John the Apostle, speaking of the efficacy of the sacrifice of Christ for sinners all over the world, he said this, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. In other words, John was saying there that the sacrifice of Christ is sufficient to save sinners, whoever they are, wherever they are to be found in this world. Oh, people, tonight, this is why Christ gave the great commission to his disciples before he ascended up into heaven. When he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You think tonight of John Wesley, the founding father of Methodism. My, he had a right view of things, for he said this. He says, the world is my parish. And in his day, he sailed many times across to the Americas and the West Indies and traveled the length and breadth of England, Scotland, and Wales. He traveled the length and breadth of Ireland on horseback, what doing? Preaching the gospel to all and sundry. Indeed, here in County Fermanagh under God, he done a mighty work for God and preached the word of God to multitudes of people. To all and sundry, whoever they were, go ye into all the world, said Christ to his people. Preach the gospel to every creature. And people in the meeting tonight, can I say, this is why whenever you and I are saved, we should do all we can, all within our power, to spread the gospel both near and far. That is why as a church we should evangelize and be evangelistic and mission and support missionaries at home and abroad. Why? Because Christ is the universal light of the world. He says, I am the light of the world. How we should do all within our power as God's people to gather people under the sound of the gospel and to share the good news of the gospel, because Christ is the universal light of the world. He says here, I am the light of the world. And friends, in our meeting tonight, this very fact that Christ is the universal light of the world, it means that no matter who we are, no matter what our background is, Christ is willing to dispel and to defeat the, the awful darkness of sin in our lives, no matter who we are. You know, whenever it comes to salvation, you and I, we don't need any special credentials. We don't need any special commendations of the Lord for the Lord to save us. As the hymn writer says, all the fitness He requireth is for you to feel your need of Him. You turn back a little bit from our text tonight to John's Gospel, chapter number 6. Turn to a very well-known verse. It's the verse number 37 of John's Gospel, chapter 6. What a verse this is. It says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And then look at the final words there in verse number 37. It says, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Notice the mention there of the word him. The thought here is that no matter who we are, no matter what our background is, the thought here is if we come to Christ for salvation, He will save us. You think of this woman in the passage of Scripture before us tonight in John's Gospel, chapter 8. The scribes and the Pharisees, the religious elite and aristocracy, they had no time for her. They wanted her stoned to death. They wanted her to be cast out to be slain. But my, the Lord had time for this woman. Why? Because Christ says in His Word, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And if you and I come to Christ for salvation, He will save us. That's His promise. And Christ cannot lie. My, you have a similar thought over in that great gospel verse in Romans 10, verse 13. It says, therefore, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That word, whosoever, takes in every single one of us in this meeting tonight. Whoever we are, whatever our background is, whatever our sin has been or our sin is, we come to Christ and call upon Christ for salvation. We shall be saved. Richard Baxter was a great Puritan preacher and writer of a bygone day. In one of his writings, he said, I thank God for the word whosoever. Then he went on and he said these remarks. He says, for if God had said that there was mercy for Richard Baxter, I was so vile a sinner that I would have thought he meant some other Richard Baxter. But when he says, whosoever, I know that includes me, the worst of all Richard Baxters. And friends, tonight the Lord Jesus Christ, I tell you, is altogether able to save you and I from our sins. He is altogether able to save you and I from a lost sinner's hell. Why? Because He not only is the true light of the world, but He is the universal light of the world. Over in the book of Nehemiah, chapter number 9, and the verse number 17, you read these tremendous words about the Lord. It says, Thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. I tell you tonight, there's no Lord like the Lord of glory. There's no Savior like Jesus Christ. The old hymn writer was right when they said, there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus, no, not one. No, not one. Notice one final thought here in connection with our text tonight. Not only is He the true light of the world, not only is Christ the universal light of the world, but finally notice here that He is the guiding light of the world. Notice the final words there of John's Gospel, chapter number 8 and the verse number 12. He goes on and he says, He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You know, whenever someone follows a person to a particular destination, that person becomes their guide. Well, in other words, here Christ is saying that He is this world's guide to the eternal light and the eternal glory of heaven. He is, if you like, the ladder to heaven, the ladder to glory. Remember Jacob's dream in the Old Testament of the ladder between heaven and earth, a wonderful picture in the Old Testament of Christ. And therefore the thought is, if a person is to get to heaven, if a person is to be saved from hell, that place of everlasting punishment for sin, that place which the Bible calls the place of outer darkness, then that person, whoever they are, must follow Christ. Christ, who is the light of the world. Christ emphasized that to Thomas when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You think tonight of Matthew, who wrote the first book of the New Testament. Matthew was a tax collector. He was a disciple. He was a penman that God used to write the first book of the New Testament. And he was one who followed Christ to heaven, who followed Christ to glory. Matthew chapter 9, in the verse number 9, you read of Christ passing by when Matthew was at work. And it says, and Jesus passed forth from thence, and he saw a man, Matthew, sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, follow me. And it says this about Matthew, and he arose and followed him. And my Matthew's soul is in heaven tonight. Why? Because he was a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world. It says he arose and he followed him. Likewise, friends in our meeting tonight, if you and I are to be in heaven one day, if you and I are to be saved from hell, that place of eternal darkness, if you and I are to have everlasting life, if we are to bask in the eternal light and the eternal glory of God's heaven, then here on earth, you and I, we must be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. Christ here talks about this very fact of following him in our text. He says, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. My, for you to be in heaven, for you to be saved from outer darkness and hell itself, and you and I, we must follow Christ here on earth. This is our responsibility personally before God. This is our obligation. This is something that you and I must do. This is not something that you and I can take, as it were, or leave it, so to speak. You and I must be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Tell me tonight, are you a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ in this meeting? I'm not asking you tonight, are you a Free Presbyterian or do you belong to some other church? But what I'm asking you tonight is this. Are you a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? And that leads us to ask the vital question, what does it mean to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? There's many things we could say about that. But the Word of God reveals that there are three vital ingredients, three fundamental things in the life of one who is a follower, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. What are those things? But you and I, we must repent of our sins before God and confess our sins to God. The Bible says, repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. Also, we must trust in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and in his blood alone for the cleansing away of our sins before Almighty God. This is how it was with David. Turn with me back to Psalm number 51, and you'll see his faith there in the atoning sacrifice of Christ to wash away his sins. Psalm 51 and the verse number 2. He says, wash me truly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. Verse number 7, he says, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than the snow. And that was a testimony of David's faith in the blood of Christ, the blood of the cross, to wash away his sins. Yes, you and I, we must repent, confess our sins to God, trust in the sacrifice, the blood of Christ. Then to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I must honor the Lord by obeying his word, living out his truth in our lives day by day. You look at what Christ says in John chapter 8, Go down there to verse number 31, the same chapter where our text is found, and look at what he says there. He says, if you continue, he says, in my word, then are ye my disciples. In other words, my followers. Indeed, if you continue in my word, if you live out my word to the glory of his name. Men and women, young people, boys and girls, that's what it means for you and I to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is getting at in our text. He says, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And I want you to see from the chapter here that the Lord gives a very solemn warning to you and I. In verse 24 of the chapter, if we do not follow Christ, do not trust him as Savior, look at what he says in verse 24 of the chapter. He says, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. And the warning here is this, that if we remain in the darkness of our sins, do not trust Christ as Savior, we'll perish in our sins. And will be lost forever in the outer darkness of hell, never enter into heaven, never enter into glory. Look at what Christ says also there in verse number 21 of the same chapter. He says, and whether I go, he's speaking to those there who would not follow him, would not trust him. He says, whether I go, he was going to heaven. He says, you cannot come. What a warning. Friend, in the meeting tonight, as you sit in this gathering, are you still unsaved? Heed tonight the word of God. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Don't go out of the meeting without the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins. Confess your sins to God. Trust in the sacrifice of Christ for the cleansing, the blotting out of all your sins. And by God's grace, seek to serve him and honor him. Live for his word day by day as a follower, a disciple of Jesus Christ. We're going to close our meeting.